Hello, and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is the message given on Sunday morning, April 24th, 2016, by Tom Job from the book of Matthew, chapter 6.
Guys, I wanted to read, we've been talking about, what did Jesus teach about things just Jesus as our teacher, and I wanted to read some, this is just some scriptures out of what biblical scholars have titled the Sermon on the Mount, just Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus, it was really like the one of the places that's just the heartbeat of what he's teaching us about the way we need to be and think and do. In verse 5, it says in verse 27 of chapter 5, "You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gorge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for the whole body to be thrown into the fire. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It's better to lose a part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell." In chapter 6, in verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or your body, what you'll wear, because life is more than food and your body's more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can you add, by worrying, one single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? Look at the flowers of the field. They don't labor or spin, but not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of those. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what shall we wear? Pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And then in chapter 7, in verse 1, "Don't judge, or you will be judged. In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own?" Lord Jesus, wow. It seems so hard, and yet it's not. It's the best thing we could possibly do for ourselves, for everyone in our lives, to listen to your words and devote our heart to doing them. Help us to become better at it, to become more sensitive to it, to be more desiring to do it. Make it be the desire of our heart to be good students and good followers of you and to love your words. In your precious name, amen. You know, I do think that there's times, I have them, when I wonder, is God using me? Is God really using me? And am I doing the will of God? Except this one little place in my life, I know that God uses me, and I know I am doing the will of God. Because about, 2 years ago, I bought this little, it's a little green wire basket, and I hung it on. It's about 7 inches square, and I hung it on a little dogwood tree, and you put suet in it, and I get this suet, which is melted cow fat. Like, don't Wikipedia it. It's more than you want to know about it, but, and they flavor it, and I put it in this basket, and I get the kind, and I feed birds with it. And God said, Jesus said, that God feeds the birds. And in my little corner of the world, he uses me to do it like a boss. I get suet from CNS Suet Company in Sioux City, Iowa. They have several flavors: almond, wild berry, cherry, raisin, papaya, hot pepper, peanut butter delight or insect flavor, and on the label it says choose the flavor that's most appealing to you. So I figure insects or peanut butter delight, I'll go with peanut butter like every time. And they go crazy. I mean, they go so crazy for it, and they love it so much. And birds have to eat their weight in food every day. Humans eat about 3 pounds of food a day, but birds, I think I weigh like maybe, 150 or something. If I had to eat 150 pounds of food today, I would not fly once or walk, or I would just like sleep the whole time. I'd be like those snakes that eat like a cow and sleep for 3 months. I don't know how they do it, but so that is one place I know God uses me. And Jesus said in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6, if you don't want to be anxious, look at birds. And because your heavenly Father he is not their father, but he feeds them. So he is going to take care of you because they're just little critters. And by the way, your pets are not your children. I mean, just in case you wondered. I mean, when you take your pet to the vet, it's under your last name. Your pet technically has your last name, but your pet is not one of your kids. And they're just, Tina was doing something. I had to take these cats that we had down to the vet in Oliver Springs to get them fixed. And I handed these cats over to the lady to get them fixed. And she said, say goodbye to daddy. And I was like, these are not my kids. One, my kids are not this ugly. And two, what is about to happen to these cats, I would not do to my kids. So it's like the Far Side cartoon where it was where the dog is like going in the family car and the window's down and he's yelling at his dog buddies, they're taking me to get me tutored. But in that one little thing, I know that God uses me because he said he feeds them and he uses me to do it. And I also know that in this one area of my life, I do the will of God. I do the will of Jesus, my master, because he said, look at the birds. And I do that. I look at them. I love them. I have learned a lot. One day I had 17 different species of birds in that dogwood tree at one time. And there's this website I go on, and it tells me all that I had Carolina chickadees, tufted titmouse, white-breasted nuthatch, the northern cardinals, of course, white-throated swallows, which live, they're about to leave and go to the Yukon, where they go for the summer, and house sparrows, red-bellied woodpeckers, downy woodpeckers, and yellow-bellied sapsuckers. And you learn all about them, and they say that they have a song. They each have a song that they sing. So I tried to learn those, like the Carolina chickadee, the song. They say the song is, oh my Canada, Canada, Canada. One of them says that what they say is, my Sam Peabody, 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 Sam Peabody. It sounded more to me like, love to watch TV, watch TV, watch TV. But I'm not a nature person, so I'm not very good at like picking up on what their songs actually were. Like those, you know, where you're looking at the book and they'll tell you the constellations and like those seven stars, that's a bear. I'm like, that's a bear? That is, I guess so. Really? You think it looks like a bear? But anyway, but Jesus said to do it. And like, if you have anxiety problems, He said, look at birds or look at flowers. He said, if you think I'm not gonna have clothes to wear, Jesus said, look at birds, your heavenly Father takes care of them. Look at flowers, and he meant like wildflowers, because the idea of flower gardens, the way we have them, is a pretty modern thing. Like since 1982, the British Association of Rose Breeders awards the Rose of the Year. They're pretty amazing. Lady Marmalade won, that was the name of the rose in 1987, I think, and Pink Passion, and they're pretty amazing. We do things with flowers that I don't think they did back then. Like we use flowers to tell someone I love you, or we use flowers to tell someone I am so sorry for being so stupid. Will you please forgive me? Or we use flowers to win competitions and beat other people and be the best gardener in the world. But I don't think they use flowers. They were just wild flowers. And he was just saying, stop and look at them. I have this weed in my yard that I hate. And now it's in bloom. And it has a tiny little flower, and I kneeled down and looked at it, and it was so beautiful. And I thought, dang it. But it's just kind of like flowers, like millions of wildflowers, they're so beautiful, and only God sees most of them. And they're just beautiful for him. And I kind of get that feeling that's what he was saying was, like Solomon doesn't look better than they do. So it's not that you people are worried about, will I have clothes to wear? But it's just like, will I have cool clothes to wear? Will I look good enough? And Jesus said, our master said, look at the flowers. They're just, your Father makes them beautiful, but they're just beautiful for him. He's the one who sees 99.7% of them and nobody else does. What if that was your heart? What if all your anxiety disappeared because all you cared about was just being beautiful for him? So anyway, our master said, look at birds and look at flowers. It's like they're telling us, if you'll stop and look at them, they're telling us the gospel. Like if you think about the message, the good news, Paul explains it most clearly in the letter to the Romans, chapter 3. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but we're justified freely, we're redeemed, we're bought. And then it turns into a fireworks explosion of, like in chapter 5, and being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And in chapter 8, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And then he said, and he's making everything work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. He's making you like Jesus. He's making you beautiful. If you looked at the flowers, you would know that. And he who spared not his own son, how will he not freely with him give you all things? If he's going to take care of you, if you looked at the birds, you would know that. If I simply did what my master told me to do. And what if a person said, okay, I kind of get the point. He takes care of birds. He takes care of flowers. He's going to take care of me. I'm going to have what I need. But it's not really what Jesus said. He didn't really say, you get the point. God takes care of birds. He says, look at them. Look at them. Look at flowers. What if there was like a huge difference between me just saying in my heart, I get the point of what he's saying, and actually doing what he tells me to do? What if he is so awesome? My master, it's not hard to do. Look at birds, look at flowers. I mean, good night. And in chapter 5, he says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. This is easy compared to that. Yeah, it's funny because in verse 25 of Matthew 6, where Jesus said, don't be anxious, it doesn't really say don't be anxious. It says, therefore, don't be anxious. And when you see a therefore, you got to just put it in reverse and go backwards. And the verse right in front of that chapter, verse 24 of chapter 6, says, you can't have two masters. You can't serve God and money. You can only have one master. What if Jesus was my master? And if he tells me to look at birds and to look at flowers, what if I actually did it? And what if I found that if I simply did what my master said to do, I would be happier and I would be healthier than I have ever been? What if I actually did look at what he told me to look at? Birds and flowers. And what if I didn't look at what my master says to not look at? Like at the end of chapter 6, when it goes on and on about anxiety and not being anxious. And it starts in chapter 7, and it says, don't judge people. You shouldn't judge anyone. And don't look at people's defects. Like, don't look at the speck. Because you have like a telephone pole coming out of you, like your eyeball. So don't look at other people's defects. Don't notice them. Don't look at them. Don't stare at them. Don't, at least don't talk about them to other people. What you think is wrong with other people. And sometimes, people have defects that you're like, I can't not look at that. I mean, like, when people do stupid things and it's just like, I can't pretend I just didn't see that. Like, that thing where it's kind of stupid things that people do. It's like called, famous last words. Oh, I've seen this done on TV. I think he's probably hibernating. What does this button do? So which wire do I cut? I wonder where that mother bear is. No, these are the good kind of mushrooms. Pull the pin and count to what? What duck? Sometimes people just do stupid things and you can't pretend that you didn't see that they did something stupid. So I've always thought that this, when Jesus said, don't look at the speck, he must mean, don't judge people. Like, I can't avoid, noticing what they did, but he said, no, basically I'm just not supposed to judge their motives because I don't judge their motives. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, don't notice them. The defects that you see in other people, don't look at them. Don't stare at them. And you're like, well, how am I supposed to do that? The word speck, when Jesus said, don't look at the speck, it comes from a Greek word that means a little dried up thing. Like when you're talking to somebody and they have like a booger and you're like, I'm trying not to look at that, but I'm like, so you do that thing where you're kind of looking above their head so you don't look at it. And then they turn around like, what are you looking at? And so you're trying to do this thing, where you're trying to tell them, maybe I have one. And they're like, what's in that? Do you have a booger? No, you have one. I've been trying. Oh, as Nathan said to King David, thou art the man. And nobody will tell you, but you're making me tell you. You have a booger. And but it's like, how do you not notice it? How do you not notice it? And I guess it's kind of like the sun. Like, the sun is the most obvious thing in the sky, but you just don't look at it because it will hurt you. And I wonder if maybe, like when Jesus said, don't look at other people's defects, because this will hurt you, because it's more serious than you think it is. In fact, he said, there are people who are going to be judged for doing this, for looking at other people's defects. And maybe you're thinking, well, how can that be judged? Because I thought if you believe in Jesus, you'll never be judged, which is absolutely true. Jesus himself said in John chapter 5, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life, will not come into judgment, but has already passed from death into life. In Romans chapter 8, he said, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 says in verse 8, by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift from God. And it's not of works, it's just a gift. And all you have to do is say, I need this, I want it, and I'll take it. But before a person takes that gift, there's some kind of horrible things that I have to admit about myself. Like in that very same chapter of Ephesians 2, he says in verse 1, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, like spiritually dead. And you were following Satan, and you were a child of the wrath of God. You deserved the judgment of God. And like for some of us, before we accepted Jesus, those were the most obvious things about us. But human beings have an almost infinite capacity for self-deception. And I don't want to see those things about myself. And one of the most effective tactics that I could use to avoid noticing and admitting the truth about myself is focusing on the defects of other people. And, oh, they're so stupid, and they always, all that stuff they post in Facebook is always so stupid, and they do, what, did you see what they wore? That was so stupid. Did you hear that thing they said? That was so stupid. Are you saying they're, like, dead? Are you saying they're following Satan? Are you saying they deserve the judgment of God? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that stuff to avoid admitting that that's the truth about me. And there are people who are going to, in the end, who would rather refuse the gift than admit the truth about themselves. And that's how they do it. But if a person thinks, well, I've already accepted Jesus, so I'm not going to be judged anyway, which is absolutely true. But at the same time, if he says that stuff about noticing other people's defects, it can't be good, so I ought to just stop doing it. I ought to let him be. What if I spent like 10 days and I'm not going to talk about anything that's wrong with anybody? You know, just in that recreational way that we do. I'm just not going to do it. And sometimes, a person's like, well, if I don't talk about other people's defects, I won't have anything to talk about. And you could think, that's not necessarily a bad thing, you know. What if Jesus said, look at birds, what if I did it? Jesus said, look at flowers, what if I did it? What if I just said, you're my master, I'll do what you say? Jesus said, don't look at other people's defects. What if I did it? Because he's my master, and because it's the healthiest, I'd be healthier and happier than I've ever been. And in chapter 5, he said, guys, don't look at women. You know, don't look at women in a sexual way. And a person might think, Okay, well, what does that really mean? Like, I mean, you know, that you can't help noticing that some people are like expressions of God's creative genius. And you know, I have to kind of admire God's creative genius that he's so amazing. What is it? So how do you look at a person and recognize that, you know, God made them, you know, creatively positive and look at a person with sexual desire? And I've always thought it's kind of like looking at a cow. Like if you look at a cow, because cows are really beautiful, but if you're looking at a cow on a peaceful hill in a morning sunrise, or if you're looking at a piece of a cow between two buns with lettuce and tomatoes on a Hardee's commercial, they're both cows and they're both beautiful, but you only want to bite one of them. You know what I mean? So it's something like that, but that's how I've always kind of wondered about how do you think about that in my own mind when he says don't look at women. But one thing I do know that he means is I do know that it must mean don't look at the kind of stuff that people look at on the internet. It has to mean that. It has to mean don't do it, whatever it would take. The things that people, you know what I mean without me having to say it. The kind of, the things that are on the internet that have to qualify as guys looking at women in a sexual way. 46% of the men in America intentionally do it every week. There are 259 internet users in the United States every month, 259 million internet users, and every month 107 million of them do that. Every month. Whatever it would take for a person to not start doing that, or whatever it would take for a person to stop, like finding friends, getting it out there, telling a group of friends who aren't different than you, and say, will you help me? Can we help each other? I don't want to do this. My master doesn't want me to do this. Because Jesus said, people will be thrown into the eternal dump for doing this. And it's like, wow. I thought all you have to do is believe the message of Jesus. To not go there, to believe in the love of Jesus, to believe that Jesus gave his life because he loved me, to not go there. That's true. That's all we, and almost all of us have done that. But what if a person could rewire their brain to the place where they can't believe that? What if this is a bigger deal than people think it is? What if sex is a bigger deal than we think it is? Sex is awesome. I mean, it's a gift from Almighty God to us, to two people, to a man and a woman who have made faithful promises. And it's a gift of enjoying committed, crazy love. There's a place in the Old Testament, it's an entire book, the Song of Songs, and it's about this young couple who have made faithful promises to each other, and they're enjoying this crazy love that they have, and they're telling us all about it, and I'm kind of like, la, 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 I don't really want to know about this is what I'd like to do, this is what I'd like to do, and he's just like, I want to come into your garden and do some gardening, and he's like, I'd like to drink your milk and your honey, and she said, I would like to lay in the shade of your apple tree. That one doesn't really give me anything, but whatever. But it's just like, I remember one guy saying to every other woman in the world, I'm a monk, but with her, I'm a monkey. But it's just that God would give people it winds up being the funnest and the sweetest and the kindest and the most caring gift that two people could give to each other. A person giving their life to love another person, the way Jesus gave his life in loving us. And it's in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul said, it's a really deep mystery, this gift, this fun, sweet, kind, and caring gift. But there's a place in your heart, if God gives you a mate, where it's supposed to teach you about him. And it's supposed to teach you about love. And it's supposed to teach you that God loves humans. And that humans, and that life is about love. And that humans were made by love and for love. But when, if a person looks at this stuff that is on the internet that nobody should look at, that is looking at a human like a consumer good. And the person doing it is a consumer, not a person that was made by love and for love. And what if a person rewired their mind to look at other humans that way and to look at intimacy that way? How could they convince their heart then that life is about love, and that we were made by love, and that we were made for love, and that God would love me so much that he would give himself for love in such a sweet, kind and caring way? It's not that a person could get to a place where they don't believe that Jesus would do it. It's just that a person could get to a place where they no longer believe in love. And even if I am a person who I have believed in Jesus, I'm going to go through very difficult things in my life. And I need to feel love. I need to feel the love of Jesus. You know, there's a place in I was red-winged blackbirds, by the way. Their flocks are so big. They can have flocks of 2 million at once. But Jesus said, not one of them falls to earth without the Father's love. He said in Matthew chapter 10, he said, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? But your Father cares for them, each one of them. And in Luke chapter 10, he says the same thing, but he says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? In Matthew, it's 2 for a penny. In Luke, if you buy 4 of them, I'll throw in another one. But he cares for them all. Are you not worth more than they? And the Greek word for worth, it's kind of a special word. It means to carry through. And when I go through stuff, I need to know that he knows and that he loves me and that he's going to carry me through. And anything that I could possibly do that would erode my belief in love must be a horrible thing. And I need to get friends that can help. what if I believed that Jesus, such a sweet master, that whatever he tells me to look at, I would do it. And whatever he tells me to stop looking at, I would do it. Lord Jesus, I just think that to have a master so sweet, so wise, and so loving, who made us by love and for love, to not just want to do everything you say is such a shame and such a waste, to hurt ourselves in ways that so unnecessary. Give us heart. If I would ask you for anything, it would be, give us heart that would just fall in love with you as our master, and would just without question or without a question do whatever I need to do what you tell me to do. In your precious name, amen.
When life seems to roll like a storm out of control, there is so much I don't know that is in your plan. You named every star and you placed them where they are. Every beat of every heart is within.